Welcome, welcome, welcome to Penguin Radio. This is your host, DJ Smooth, and I'm here with my co-host, DJ Roughhouse. DJ Roughhouse, is that what it is?
Four in the championship.
Yeah.
Going on right now.
I know, right? I'm just so excited. So welcome to Ball is Life. Again, DJ Smooth, DJ Roughhouse, and we're going to just get into, there's a lot of good basketball going on here today. You know, we got the Final Four and the championship game coming up for basketball, so we'll hit in that in the first segment. Second segment, we'll talk about, like, the past NBA games and, you know, obviously all your Warriors fans, you know, just want to know how they did yesterday instead of how Steph Curry destroyed Chris Paul. And then also we'll just talk about MVP conversation. And DV just got into the studio today. He'll be on the air later. So we'll see what he put.
He's a little hungry at the moment.
Yeah, he'll put his input in. You know, he's getting some meals, you know. He got some shots up earlier today. So anyways, let's get right into the Final Four. So the four teams, Michigan State, Duke, Kentucky, and Wisconsin.
Bruh. That Louisville Michigan State game. I really thought that Louisville was gonna pull it off.
I told you Michigan State was.
You did call that. You did call that last week, and super unfortunate. Kind of hurt my bracket a little bit, but I mean, I got Wisconsin winning the tournament
over Kentucky.
Over Kentucky, I got them beating Kentucky, and I got Duke beating Michigan State.
Wow.
I mean, I think we all have Duke beating Michigan State, though. I mean, the only people who picked Michigan State are people that are in Michigan right now.
True.
Or maybe some bold people out there.
I'm pretty bold. I mean,
you think Michigan State's going to beat Duke?
No, I don't think they're going to beat Duke, but I feel like they're going to give it, you know, I feel like they're going to give it a Duke run for their money. Yeah. So,
but I mean, Izzo, he's just a great coach.
You know what? I did pick Kentucky in the beginning. You know, when this all started.
Yeah.
But I feel like Duke is going to pull this out.
Really?
I feel like Duke, Jahlil Okafor, Coach K.
What prompts you to say that?
Again, Jahlil Okafor, I think they're not the better team. I think they're the well-groomed team. They're just more well-groomed and more mature than a Kentucky team that's a bunch of show-offs, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. DB did not like that statement.
Yeah, I mean, that's really bold. I'm still trying to like process the words I just heard, but I mean, I got Wisconsin beating Kentucky, so I mean, I can't really say much.
Yeah.
But I'm for sure gonna say that Wisconsin. I mean, they're just gonna shut down Jahlil Okafor, and next thing you know, Duke's gonna look up. Coach K's gonna be like, "Oh man, we're down by 20 with 5 minutes left to
really?
Go." Really?
Really?
Like Wisconsin is nice.
No,
like,
they are nice. I'm not gonna lie.
Mack Kaminsky is just getting buckets out there right now.
He is. He definitely is, and you know, he's one of the best players in the country, obviously.
Yeah. I think he's for sure going first round if he ends up declaring for the draft.
I don't know. It's just this Kentucky team is just really good. They're really good. Don't see them winning. I see them moving on to the championship, but I don't see them winning the
You
top.
Made a really good point last week about how Kentucky has two starting fives, and when they're going against all the teams that they've played, I mean, the Harrison brothers get tired.
Mm-hmm.
Towns gets tired. I mean, they got another eight. I mean, their bench is so deep.
But
I think that's a big key factor, as you mentioned.
Yeah, but I do get your point about Wisconsin that they might, you know, give Kentucky a run for the money because a Notre Dame team last in the Elite Eight
they gave
Kentucky a good game. The Notre Dame only lost 68-66, and Notre Dame is nowhere near as good of a team as Wisconsin is.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like. Because Wisconsin was obviously a number one seed. They're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah.
So I feel like Wisconsin has the pieces and players to match up with Kentucky well and maybe pull off an upset. Because obviously, even though they're both number one seeds, that's obviously an upset because everyone expects Kentucky to win because they're still undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, I really agree with that. And just this whole Wisconsin, their whole setup that they have, I mean, they have great ball movement all the way around the perimeter. They could feed it into the big guys inside. But, I mean, they have Towns and Pauly Stein in there for the rebounds. So, I think the big key for Wisconsin is that they just make all of their shots. And they just have to make good shot selections, which is really hard to get against a Kentucky team.
True.
But, I mean, I really believe in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I get it. But I do expect Kentucky to beat off Wisconsin. One question for you, Ruffhouse, so just to bring it up.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, that Kentucky is undefeated. Do you feel like that pressure of not losing a game yet is going to get to them and just be in their head and give them, like, big egos and stuff
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, when they were playing Notre Dame, I think for sure they were like, oh, man, like, we're in the Elite Eight right now. Like, mm-hmm. these are going to be good teams. And that's when they realized. I mean, even against West Virginia, I mean, everybody thought that they were going to be great, but then Kentucky just, like, slaughtered them. I mean,
true. We did.
So that really boosted their confidence, yeah. and they came into the Notre Dame game super confident, I think, and that's why they played kind of poorly because they were like, oh man, like we just won by 40
in the
biggest tournament in college basketball. But mm-hmm. now I think that after that game, Wisconsin's gonna reestablish their dominance and defeat Kentucky.
True. Like you said. I feel like I brought up that question because I do feel like it's getting to the head. You know, obviously, like when you're on a team in high school, college, NBA, or, you know, even like the little guys, like, you know, NJB and stuff like that, AAU, once you're undefeated, it gets to you. You don't let it, like, you don't want it to get to you. It does. You're just like, oh, we're undefeated. And after a while, you just bring it up. And then once people keep on talking about it, it's just like, you know, it just gets to your head and you just feel like no one can beat you and you're just the best in the country. So I just feel like it's going to get to them because, Kentucky, you know, their eyes are on them. ESPN's always bringing it up. They're undefeated. Yeah. You know, other teams are bringing it up. Probably I bet you John Calipari, their head coach, is trying not to bring it up and trying to, like, low play and just like, oh, it's nothing really. Yeah, we're undefeated, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to us. But as hard as you try to, like, not give it that much attention, it's getting a lot of attention nationally. So I just feel like it's going to be difficult for a Kentucky team to just downplay it and not make it as a big deal, but as what
it
is.
Yeah, I mean, what keeps coming into my mind is the Miami Heat team and when they went on that. What was it, 27 game?
Mm-hmm.
There's 27 game win streak.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask them, like, how did you guys cope with the pressure of being on that win streak and not trying to give up anything, mm-hmm. not trying to get too arrogant or get too down yourself so you guys make you feel like you're not doing something great?
True.
And I just think that's I'm just curious to see what their response would be because I think that's where Kentucky's at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everything has to come to an end. So whether they win it all or they lose a game, either way, it's going to come to an end. And I hope that it comes to an end by them losing to Wisconsin because my bracket would be busted. If my it's bracket, not already.
Yeah, my bracket's already been busted, like, since game two or the first round. But so you got Wisconsin,
so I got Wisconsin.
Wisconsin beating Kentucky, and then I got Kentucky beating Wisconsin.
So can Michigan State beat Duke? It really seems like you want Michigan State to win this.
I do. They're just because I expected them to be like Louisville, and I expected them to
be. Yeah, okay. You called one game. You called Louisville losing to Michigan State.
I did. That's
now
the
you
only,
get in bold. That was just, this the, is Duke.
That's the only upset I've called all this is that Louisville. I got right all
this isn't Louisville.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I want to pick them. I really, really do. And I know DV's making fun of me right now because that's just what he does. But I'm going to go with Duke on this one.
Yeah,
I don't want to be bold.
Go.
I don't want to be bold.
Come to your senses.
Yeah.
Watch. Now that you pick Duke, you watch Michigan State win.
As people just start losing and everything. No, I'm going to pick Duke. Like I said, I think they're the team they're the team to beat in these four teams.
What do you think the percentage is on this game? You think it's like 75-25 Duke? Or
I'm going to go 60-40 because I feel like Michigan State is a team that's, again, they're the most physical team out of all these four teams right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like they can bang with anyone in the post, and they're going to be a terror on the board. So, you know, Duke's going to have to box out and get those defensive rebounds and not allow Michigan State to get those offensive rebounds and get second chance points. So it's just going to be Coach K, I bet, is just focusing on rebounding and playing good defense and, you know, controlling the tempo. Like, I know I bring up the tempo a lot in these past shows, but controlling the tempo is a very important part of this game, and people don't notice that. People don't realize it because if you can control the tempo of the game and have the other team play
At your pace.
Yeah, your pace and your style of basketball, it goes a long way.
Yeah.
So, again, I think, you know, Coach K of Duke is going to just have his team, you know, control the pace, get it to Okafor in the post, have him create opportunities for himself and his other teammates, and,
yeah,
you know, win the game.
All right, I like what you're saying here. So then we're going to go to the final, the championship game.
So you had Duke? You had Duke?
Yeah, I got Duke, Wisconsin.
So we got
Kentucky with Duke.
Okay.
So Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
60-58.
Wow. What do you think? Wow. DV's face is he's just in shock right now.
Wisconsin is going to beat Duke because they are the best team in the nation.
Wow.
They are.
DJ Romy's face is just not having it right now.
bro.
That's bold. Wisconsin. You're on the Wisconsin bandwagon. How long have you been on this Wisconsin bandwagon?
I made this bracket. My mom's born in Wisconsin. I got family
ties,
there.
Family ties.
But, I mean, they're just nice. The first bracket I made, I have Louisville winning it all. And then the second bracket I made, I have Wisconsin winning it all.
So,
and I think that when I made that decision, it was me. I don't know. I looked more in depth of a Wisconsin, like, you know, they gave the stat line. They gave the, like, a synopsis of their season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I really read that, and I don't know, something just stuck out. And something in that paragraph, that short paragraph, just stuck out, and it just made me think about Wisconsin winning it all.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I feel it. I feel like, obviously.
That was like you with SMU.
Let's not bring that up. What? Let's try not to bring that up. We all know SMU. Yes.
Who? What team?
I don't know what team. I still, you know. Baylor? They still should have won the first game.
Baylor?
Don't bring up Baylor.
All right. So you got Kentucky over Duke?
No, I got Duke over Kentucky.
Oh, my gosh.
I got Duke over Kentucky. I did have Kentucky winning it all in the beginning. Yeah, I did have Kentucky winning it all over Duke. These are the two teams I had in the finals. But I don't know. My mind has changed throughout watching this tournament, just watching how Duke plays and just handles themselves. And I just feel like Kentucky's going to beat Wisconsin in the Final Four, and they're going to say, oh, we got one more game. You know, we can cruise to this. You know, we're the team to beat. Everyone wants to be us. And I feel like this Kentucky team's in that. It's going to, like, what's going to happen to this Kentucky team is what happened to the Fab Five team the 2 years they were in, you know, the Final Four and the championship. Yeah. I just feel like they're going to be that great team that did not win that national championship game. And I just feel like Duke is, again, more well-groomed, better coached. Nothing against John Calipari and what he does, because he's a great coach. But I just feel, you know, he's going against the best coach in college basketball history in Coach K.
Yeah, I mean, those are some great points. But I think if Kentucky beats Wisconsin, which is just not going to happen, I still got Duke beating Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see Kentucky coming out on top.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's just, I know a lot of people are on the Kentucky bandwagon.
I mean, over 50% of brackets picked Kentucky to win it all.
I picked Kentucky to win it all in the beginning.
That's like 5.6 million people. I mean, that's crazy.
It's crazy because, you know, they just see the two squad, the two groups of five that they have, the two starting fives that they have, but I just feel like Duke is going to just bring them back to reality. Yeah. I feel like Kentucky's in a dream right now. They think everything's all rainbows and
fairies.
They're
in Wonderland.
Yeah, they're in Wonderland, you know. Midnight's coming up, you know. And
Kentucky's the Cinderella story.
Yeah, yeah. Midnight is coming up. Midnight is about to, you know, tick. And
that's like midnight ticking on, like, the prince.
Yeah.
He just wakes up and now he's Cinderella.
He's like one of the servants. But no, I just feel like no, don't get me wrong, Kentucky's a great team and all, but I just feel like, you know, Duke is the team to beat out of these four teams.
I mean, anything can happen. That's what makes college basketball college basketball.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like Duke's gonna have a tougher challenge in Michigan State than Kentucky has in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the team that has the hardest road you would think would be Michigan State beating Duke.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say it's Wisconsin beating Kentucky.
No, obviously, yeah, of course.
Because, I mean, even though they're both the first seed and Michigan State's a seventh seed, mm-hmm. Wisconsin still has to play a team that has the title of undefeated still.
Yeah, so.
And I think that's what it is.
Yeah, no, it's I'm just going to be really excited to watch the Final Four because I think that these are the four best teams that deserve to play for the national championship.
Yeah.
Even though Michigan State's a seventh seed and people can say, oh, they got lucky by beating who, you know, upsetting Louisville and upsetting other teams. I just feel like, you know, seeding doesn't say it all. You can't judge a book by its cover. And yeah. I feel that's what people did to Michigan State. Just, oh, they got lucky. No, they deserve. They didn't get lucky. They deserve
yeah,
to be
here.
Yeah,
they earned their spot.
And they earned to be in the Final Four and be, you know, considered one of the top four teams in the country. And this is just how it is.
Yeah.
And Michigan State, I did hear before the tournament started that Michigan State was a sleeper team that could make some noise. And obviously, they have made some noise.
Yeah, I saw that ESPN posted that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not heed that warning at all.
Yeah. You know, usually you read and just like...
They also had SMU on there.
Why do we have to go back to SMU?
No, because like a lot of people had SMU. Like I'm not saying it's an Aki right now.
Yeah.
Like every other time. But, I mean, they had SMU. They said SMU is a team that could potentially go to the Elite Eight. They have a pretty easy schedule. And then goaltending.
Yeah, goaltending. And they would have beat UAB and they would just... I don't want to get started. They would have went to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, the Iowa State upset.
There was just a lot of great upsets, a lot of shockers that no one really thought of. You know, I know my my friend, my roommate, or suite mate, Russell, he had Iowa State going all the way to the Final Four, and they lost to UAB in the first round.
That is tragic.
I saw him crying in the bathroom. he was ready.
Devastation.
He didn't leave his room for like a good two whole days. That's what happened. But no, yeah. Again, it was just a lot of bracket busters in the first day, first couple of hours of March Madness.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, we got it. So, Rough House, you got Wisconsin winning it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got Duke winning it all. DV, do you want to let me know who you got? He got Kentucky winning it all for.
He hasn't changed. Day one.
He's sticking to his guns.
I heard that.
So, you know, obviously, you just watch. You know, I'm going to watch the Final Four. You know, we all know it's going to have some exciting finishes. Hopefully, no West Virginia Kentucky scores. But
yeah, those are upsetting.
Yeah, but it's going to be obviously very exciting. And you know, tune in. I think they're on CBS.
Yeah, and TNT.
CBS
or
and TNT. One of those. They're going to watch those. So Wisconsin, Kentucky, and then Duke, Michigan State. Obviously, you should check those out. They're going to be a lot of fun. A lot of exciting basketball. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to hop into some NBA. So I'm DJ Smooth, my co-host, DJ Roughhouse, and, you know, our main man here, DJ DV. And this is Ball is Life on Penguin Radio, and we will be right back. Sneaking up on you when you're there.
and you're already late. No smoking sign on your cigarette break. It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. It's meeting the man of my dreams, meeting his beautiful husband. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? A little ironic, and yeah, I really do think it's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you just didn't take. And who would have thought you'd thinking about us, and you know I ain't good at this stuff, but these feelings piling up won't give me no rest. This might come out a little crazy, a little sideways, yeah, maybe. I don't know how long it'll take me, but I'll do my best. You be my soft and sweet, I'll be your strong and steady. You be my glass of wine, I'll be your shot of whiskey. You be my sunny day, shade tree. You be my honeysuckle, I'll be your honeybee. Yeah, that came out a little country, but every word was right on the money, and I got you smiling, honey, right back at me. Now hold on, 'cause I ain't done. There's more where that came from. Well, you know I'm just having fun, but seriously. You be my Louisiana, I'll be your Mississippi. You be my little Loretta, I'll be your Conway Twitty. You be my sugar baby, I'll be your sweet iced tea. You be my honeysuckle, I'll be your honeybee.
Welcome back to Ball is Life here on radio.dominican.edu. Again, I am your host, one and only DJ Smooth, with my co-host. He's the best co-host around, DJ Roughhouse, and our great basketball analyst here, DJ DV. How are you doing, DV?
I do it.
He does do it here on Penguin Radio on Ball is Life. So, you know, we talked about the Final Four and who we thought we were going to win. You know, Roughhouse got Wisconsin, I got Duke, and DJ DV got Kentucky. But, you know, that's questionable. But
no,
anyway.
There's no question.
Okay, anyway.
We'll find out.
We'll see what happens this
weekend. We'll find out the fourth.
We'll see what happens this weekend. So, let's get into some NBA. There's a lot of exciting highlights, one in particular that I can't get out of my mind. What was the game that stood out to you, Roughhouse, last night from the NBA?
The Nets and the Pacers.
Really?
If you'll have to ask me. I want to say the Nets and the Pacers because with the Nets win, they now slide into the eighth seed in the East over the Celtics.
Wow. Wow.
So now the Nets
now we're talking
are going to be facing the Hawks in the first round if this holds.
That could be an upset, to be honest. That can be. I can see an upset brewing.
Apparently, here. Actually, Paul George is supposed to be coming back pretty soon. Mm-hmm. They said within this month.
Yeah, and that game, the Pacers-Nets game last night, was a pretty important one for the eighth spot in the East.
Yeah.
So how about you, DJ DV? What was the game that stood out to you yesterday?
I would have to go with, you know, the Nets and Pacers because, you know, they're fighting for that playoff spot. Yeah. That was probably the most important game. Other than that, you know, the rematch of the finals last night. you know, the Heat versus the Spurs.
Yeah.
You know, that's always exciting. But other than that, you know, fighting for that A spot.
No, I agree with you, though. That was a really good game with the Spurs and the Heat, because the Heat, I mean, the Spurs have now, they've won 8 out of the last 10. So, like, they're really tearing it up right now. They're on this mission to hold that seed in the West to make it to the playoffs. And then I don't know if you guys saw the highlights, but Mario Chalmers hit that half-court shot. And then they showed Greg Popovich's reaction. And it was just a, like, he just didn't, he just doesn't react to anything. And he was just, like, watched it go in, and he just, like, took his head down and was just like, oh. He was just upset.
Yeah.
And it was just classic Popovich.
Yeah, for classic Popovich.
No, I just feel like, talking about the Spurs, I feel like they're going to, you know, obviously make some noise in the West, even though they were, like, a lower seed.
No.
What do you mean no?
No.
They're going to make some noise.
They're done.
What do you mean they're done?
The legacy's over.
No, that's what we said the last, like, 2 years, and they were in the finals.
The legacy ended when the King left.
Stop.
Oh, my gosh.
The Spurs.
Anyway, the Spurs. No. The Spurs may win maybe the first round. After that, they're done.
I can see them making a Western Conference Finals.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying, they're very, you know, they always bring it up.
Who are they playing in the
first round? Let me see.
If the standings hold to what they are now.
Let me see. I'm checking.
I want to say
Spurs Rockets.
They can. Oh.
They could. Okay,
here
we
go.
They could. They're not doing it. But they're not going to.
They're not doing that.
Yes, they are.
No.
They could pull it off.
Okay. Age is definitely a factor here. What, are they going to rest their starters every other game?
No.
Whoa.
No, they're not going to rely on those 2-4-6 games.
They're not going to rest their starters. But I'm just saying Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili with a Kawhi Leonard who is got an NBA Finals MVP under his belt.
And Danny Green.
Well, you know, Danny Green, when he hits his threes, when he decides to shoot good.
So, I mean.
And then I'm just saying, they got a lot of good
players. They have.
No, but that's the only player that I really don't like, Danny Green. But they got Boris Diaw. They got Thiago Splitter. They got other guys like that that can come off the bench and produce.
They are deep.
They have three Hall of Famers.
And they got Greg Popovich. He's the best
they're
coach.
They're ready to go right now.
Greg Popovich is the best player best coach in the game right now.
I agree.
Yeah. So,
he's a very smart coach.
But look
what
he has on the court.
He can't play for his team.
I understand that, but I feel like coaching does go a long way, especially in the NBA.
I feel like it goes further in college. I don't know.
Another one that stood out to me was that Pistons-Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pistons really did upset the Hawks last night. And
yeah. Well, the Pistons are fighting for that last spot, even though they're...
Yeah, but the Hawks had all... Like, they have Teague out there. They had Kyle Korver out there hitting threes. I'm pretty sure Kyle Korver had a game high. I think he had 22, 24.
Wow.
But, I mean, they had their entire starting lineup out there, and the Pistons really just put on a clinic at home, where I think they had a total of 100 fans in the stands. I mean, it was bad. They had nobody out there.
Yeah.
Kyle Korver had 11. Oh. Tabo Sefolosha had 19. That was a team high.
He was the team high?
Yeah.
How about my boy Bazemore?
But then again, their starters only played 23 minutes.
No, obviously, you know, they're resting.
They're resting. But, I mean, they're still playing.
Yeah.
You know.
They got 8 games on Cleveland for the top spot right now. They're 56.
Oh, yeah,
19.
They had a hot start. They've definitely
all of
cooled
January,
off.
I mean, they just didn't lose.
They've definitely cooled off since, mm-hmm. you know, their undefeated month.
Yeah. Will that hurt them, though, having a bad stretch in the latest season hurt them in the playoffs?
Yeah, because it's going to get hard to start going again against a, you know, better team. Like, you know, people are bringing their A game, their A-plus game. So, you know, when it comes – I mean, they're going to bring their A-plus game as well. But, you know, trying to get going again is going to be hard because you have no rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they need the momentum to get something going to start off with.
True. Question, though.
They're not going to get it by beating the Pistons.
Yeah, question, though. So, you know, these teams that are fighting for the eighth spot in the East, you know, like Boston, Brooklyn, Indiana, do you feel like the Hawks will warm up facing one of these teams that are subpar and just, you know, get it going again into the second round?
Honestly, there you go. Okay, honestly, I was thinking that they were, like, they could probably potentially drop, I think, games 1 and 2. Until they start getting to feel like, all right, like, we need, like, then they start realizing,
true.
All right, like, we can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the playoffs.
I can see them actually splitting the first two games in the playoff series, just going 1-1, and people are like, oh, we all knew Atlanta wasn't that team, and then finally just, you know, get the wheels going and start just killing teams?
You know, I feel like, you know, they're going to face a scrappy 8-seed team.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. And they're going to come in and they're going to fight. They're going to fight.
Hungry.
They're going to fight every game they play.
True.
And I feel like it's going to blow the Hawks away. But, you know, I feel like the Hawks are still going to pull away with it. But the fact that they don't have this rhythm right now with, what, 6-7 games left.
Yeah.
You know, it's really – it's kind of going to hurt them a little bit.
Granted, it's the first, but playoffs start the 16th.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
– yeah, 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And I feel like all the teams fighting for this A spot, like Brooklyn, Boston, Indiana, and we'll throw in Charlotte because, you know, they're still 2 games out. I feel like the team Atlanta does not want to face is Brooklyn because they do got all these former All-Stars on their team. And Joe Johnson,
Lopez.
Williams, Brooke Lopez, and guys like that. I feel like that's just a horrible eighth-seeded team to play. I feel like if they play a Boston – even in Indiana, even if they get Paul George back, I feel like Atlanta would have an easier first round than this Brooklyn team that is currently in the A spot right now.
Yeah.
I feel like they'll have a tough time with the Pacers, too, especially if Paul George comes back. Because Paul George is going to come back, you know. He's been up and running and jumping more than a couple months now.
That's what I'm saying. He's been playing half court, 4-on-4s in practice.
He's going to come back with a vengeance when he comes back.
Bruh.
And I know he's going to come back.
Yeah. Getting chills.
But, you know, they still got to get that 8 spot. They are, what's it called? They are...
how many back?
A game and a half out of the 8 spot.
They got plenty of time.
Yeah.
True. No, they got...
They got like 6-7 games, as we were saying.
George comes back when with 5 games left.
Ooh.
And, you know, he drops
all MVP, MVP numbers.
He might.
He wins MVP.
Out of nowhere, Russell Westbrook started averaging a triple-double, so, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, you know, I feel like he's going to come back, get three, four, five games under his belt.
Yeah, enough to.
And then enough to, you know, get some rhythm going into
true.
Playoffs.
Yeah. So, the big game yesterday was the Golden State Warriors.
So, on to the next segment.
Against the Los Angeles Clippers. We got to talk about that game.
And ouch.
Yeah.
We just got to. What are your thoughts on what Steph Curry did to CP3? Let's start with a DV.
Ouch. you know, Steph Curry is that guy now.
He really is.
He's like, you know how Michael Jordan was? Okay, I'm not comparing him to Michael Jordan at all right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know how Michael Jordan was? You know, he was that guy. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's Steph Curry's league right now. That's what I feel.
Really?
Like. Yeah, it's Steph Curry's league.
Is LeBron handing the torch to Steph Curry?
You know, it was LeBron's league from, you know, 2010 to 2015-ish.
Wow.
Now it's Steph Curry's turn. You know, it was Kobe before that, and now it's LeBron, and, you know, you got to pass the torch. You got to pass it.
So you're just,
I'm appreciating greatness.
Yeah, you're just stepping over KD, so this ain't KD's
Where's
league.
KD been all year?
True. He's been in the hospital bed.
But, you know, Steph Curry, he's that guy, yeah. He's the best. He might be the best player in the league.
Wow. Wow.
Maybe not.
What do you got to say? Because in H-Town, they got this man named James Harden.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
He's, you know, whipping stuff over there.
About the Clippers-Warriors game.
Ouch.
I thought it was a pretty good game, you know.
It was a high scoring.
Yeah, I mean, Klay Thompson is really... I think that's like the main storyline is how well he's been playing in the shadow of Steph Curry. Like, okay, Steph Curry's averaging like 20, 30 points, but Klay Thompson's right there averaging, I mean, he's getting 20, 15 points, which is still like they need those points to get these wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take away all of Klay Thompson's points this game and the Clippers lose this game by 10.
True.
So I think that we can't just disregard Klay Thompson and all the other helpful pieces that make up the Warriors as a whole.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Steph Curry, obviously, I mean, the man's great. He's just got a Bunsen burner on him.
God,
he just doesn't miss.
He doesn't miss. And he's got low-key, like a lot of people don't give him a lot of credit for this, but he's got low-key handles on him.
What? He might be, okay,
no,
with Chris Paul and Kyrie Irving,
John Wall,
the best handle Kemba in the
Walker?
League.
I'm just saying, you know, because...
Look at the craftiness. John Wall, he uses his dribble to like get him places.
Did you see
fast.
That 360 layup?
That we're talking about dribbling right now. I'm talking about like the way, you know, Kyrie Irving, he's very crafty with his dribble.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, is very crafty with his dribble. So is Chris Paul. But you know, there's other guys in the league with that good handle.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, Steph Curry, he's just he's done this to the Clippers. I don't know how many times he
loves playing the Clippers. He loves them playing.
Everybody on the Clippers team guarded him in one possession and he still hit a three.
True. He did. No, I'm just saying because you know, ESPN and like NBA TV and TNT, they don't give Steph Curry props for his handles. I mean, they might like one or two plays when he does something great like he did last night, but I'm just saying it's not like a constant appreciation of how he dribbles the ball. Like they give him always appreciation for how he shoots, and they should because he's probably the best shooter in the game. But easily. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of people don't give him appreciation for what he can do when he handles the ball. But back to your point, Roughhouse, about, you know, Klay Thompson playing in the shadow of Steph Curry.
Yeah, I mean, David Lee, Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, I'm just one guy that, you know, he is getting the recognition he deserves is Draymond Green. I feel like Draymond Green stepping up his play is what took the Warriors from a, like, you know, the 4-5 team in the West to the top team in the West. Because, you know, always, you know, a couple years ago, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry were always getting theirs and getting their points and, you know, playing great. But they needed that third player because in the NBA now, you need a big three to be one of these top teams.
That glue guy.
Yeah, and I feel like Draymond Green is that glue guy. And I feel like if the Warriors do not pay him his money, he will go to another team. And
the Rockets.
Yeah.
No, they're definitely going to pay him their money. But what they're going to do... they're going to get rid of one of those really high contracts that they have sitting on the bench.
I feel like David Lee's the first one to go, to be honest.
Yep.
David Lee or might trade Harrison Barnes or someone like that.
I think the Warriors are going to do some big things this offseason.
They're going to make a couple, one or two good moves.
I hope.
I know it.
I hope James Harden goes there so I could follow them. Just like I followed him out of OKC.
You're just bandwagoning now.
I'm just a James Harden fan. Mm. Like, he has LeBron.
But I appreciate other people. I don't want LeBron to go to the Lakers.
I appreciate LeBron. I appreciate.
I do.
Well, we know you do because, we're not going to go into that.
It's okay. 2017. We're on.
We're on.
I'm going to graduate college then.
We'll be going into the workforce.
I'm going to be in med school by then.
Anyway. All right, you want to talk about some games that are happening tonight?
Yeah. I saw the Lakers. Lakers play the New Orleans Pelicans. Let's just get that out of the way.
Lakers lose.
Anthony Davis is going to drop 40 and 10 tonight. he's going up against one of the best backup big men in the league in Robert Sacre. So good luck to the Lakers and the Lakers faithful. Hopefully you don't watch that because I don't. I don't watch Laker games anymore.
What game I'm really looking forward to is that Clippers Trailblazers game.
Mm.
Or the Mavericks Thunder.
Dame.
Actually, the Mavericks Thunder.
Yeah.
That's a playoff spot they're fighting for.
Thunder is really trying to hold their own right now.
There's actually a couple games going on right now. The Hornets are up 33-25 over the Pistons. Spurs are handling business against the Magic. And Wizards are just, you know, beating the 76ers.
OKC has the 8th seed 2.5 games over the Pelicans, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not completely safe, but they have to win. Yeah, they're starting to make this margin, though.
You're, you know, Pelicans
have an easy win, and they need to
tonight,
win.
Yeah.
So, if Thunder lose and Pelicans win, that's they're back.
Interesting game here that I see, you know. Chicago, Milwaukee, that can be a potential first round matchup in the East. And I like Milwaukee. I feel like they're going to make, you know, a little bit noise in the first round. I don't think they're going to move on, but I feel like they can take a series to 7 to whoever they play in the first round. So I like that one. I might watch that one right now.
Well, Milwaukee is really the 6th seed and they're not even above 500.
It's fine. Milwaukee is got a lot of young talent. They got a young, good core there. They got, Michael Carter Williams. They got Greek the Freak.
I'll wait 5 years.
They got Jabari Parker.
I'll wait 5 years before I go out of my way.
Not 5 years. I'm going to say 3 years.
Okay, I'll wait 3 years. I could see three. To go out of my way to watch a game.
Also, another young team on the rise, probably not going to make the playoffs this year. Utah Jazz. They got a lot of talent.
I feel like next year they're gonna be a really solid team.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting another high draft pick, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, I feel like maybe a lotto.
Yeah, they may
late first round.
Yeah,
A lot of good guys come out lately.
Yeah, and they got
a lot of good contributors to teams. Comes out of that.
When was the last time the Jazz were good?
John Stockton.
Boozer and Darren Williams.
True.
Oh my God, they used to play the Lakers all the time in the playoffs. Memories. Throwback Thursday.
With Shaq.
Oh, another three-peat. Good game. Toronto, Minnesota.
That's going to be a good one. I like to see, you know. Did you see Andrew Wiggins dunk on Rudy Gobert? But Rudy Gobert, he got him back. Oh, my God. That was so exciting. I kind of.
That reminds me. I was just on Ball's Life, and this guy dunks one. He's, like, pointing over to the crowd, and he goes back on D. And they come back, and somebody just smashes on him. he would look so embarrassed after. I was dying.
Oh, man. But, yeah. It was so funny. A lot of good games. You know, your Rockets play the Sacramento Kings. That should be an easy win
There was, like, this stat, and it was Harden versus the Sacramento Kings.
Averaging 50.
And Harden's numbers were just as good as the entire Kings team.
Yeah, you know, that should be an easy win because Sacramento's having problems.
One thing with Sacramento,
I expected a lot.
No, Rudy Gay, like, I really like Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
I just expect so much more for him. I don't know why. I feel like he could have been easily, like, one of the greats. Like,
No, each team he was on, Memphis. They were okay for a little bit. Then he gets hurt, and then they upset the Spurs in the first round as an 8 seed. The Toronto, they're mediocre. Then they trade him, and now they're one of the best teams in the East. And now Sacramento, you expect big things, and it's just,
I think you just
let him go. They're at the bottom at the West.
Let him go. You're going to be the one seed Kings.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyways.
But I mean, I really like Rudy Gay.
Go. Who would want Rudy Gay? The Hornets,
China. I feel like China.
No, like honestly, he could. He's a starter, but I feel like he'd be a really good six man. Yeah,
well,
really
that's
good
Memphis.
Six
Memphis had him as a six man at the later end of his career.
Yeah, because he got hurt.
Yeah,
and then I think it was another year or two, and then he got traded to the Raptors.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I feel like he'd be a really good six man.
Yeah, you just don't hear a lot. He should be like an all star every year, and you just not hear a lot about him.
He has some good nights where you know it's like. Oh, you got 20 on eight of 12 shooting, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other nights where you got 15 on 3 of 22 shooting, and it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah.
He's trying to be like
another game I'm looking at is that Boston Indiana game.
It started right now.
Indiana is behind Boston by one game, so if Indiana wins this,
yeah, it's just a lot of important.
They switch for the 8th seed, and then if Brooklyn loses. Indiana's a half game out of the AC.
Brooklyn's not losing. They're playing the New York Knicks.
Man, anything's
possible. My mom was just at MSG today.
Think about all the points that Melo could be racking up right now for his all-time career scoring.
Actually, talking about moms, just side note, it's my mom's birthday, so I got to say happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Lisa. Happy birthday, Mrs. Gutierrez.
Yeah. Anyways, so we're going to take a quick break and get into some MVP conversation. This is DJ Smooth with DJ Roughhouse and DJ DV, and you're listening to Ball is Life here on radio.dominican.edu, so we'll take a quick break. Every little kiss is driving me wild. Throwing little cherry bombs into my fire. Good God almighty. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. Dancing on the tailgate in the full moon. That kind of so good, and what's left of those blue jeans? Trip of honey on the money maker, gotta be the best buzz I'm ever gonna find. Hey, I'm a little drunk on you and high on summertime. Let's slip on. It's a little bit darker, and when it gets a little bit hotter, we'll take it off on out in the water. You know they didn't want to give me this cup today. Girl, you make my speakers go boom boom. Dancing on the tailgate in the full moon. That kind of thing makes a man go ooh, ooh. You're looking so good in what's left of those blue jeans. Drip of honey. Yeah, I'm Maybe I make coffee on my own. And we are back here at Ball is Life here on radio.dominican.edu. You know, so we're talking about MVP, talking about Final Four. And now we're going to
talk about NBA.
We talked about the NBA games. Then we talked about the Final Four. Now we're going to talk about MVP. And, you know, it's just a lot of great players out there. A lot of players putting in for that final push of MVP. So, Roughhouse, let's start off with you. Who do you have?
James Harden.
I didn't even finish the question.
No, but I mean the man's just great.
I love him. I do. I love watching him play on offense.
He scores at will. He gets boards. The only thing that is wrong is that he just does not play defense. But that doesn't mean that he still can't win MVP.
True.
Is what I'm saying.
True.
MVP.
Steph Curry doesn't get a bunch of steals.
Well, I'm not talking about steals. Do you like James Harden just like he'll be looking at the ball and his guy will just cut back door. That's not MVP defense. MVP to me is you're good on both sides of the court and your team is winning and you help your team win. If you sit out a game, your team is going to lose. That's the MVP to me.
So if you look at like the plus minus on their score, like when they come in the game.
Efficiency?
Yeah.
Their efficiency is high.
Yeah. I bet you James Harden's efficiency is through the roof.
Because all he plays is offense.
And that's what wins games.
And then you got Dwight Howard. Okay, Dwight Howard hasn't been there, but you got a second guy playing help defense. So to me, I mean, honestly, I feel like Steph Curry's one, James Harden's two, LeBron is three.
So you got Steph Curry winning the MVP.
I got Steph Curry winning the MVP.
Russell Westbrook.
Where's his team at?
He doesn't need a team. That's MVP, bro.
No, that's not.
He does everything. He literally does everything.
He tweeted.
He said, "I want MVP. I want it."
Okay, you can want all you want. I want a Lamborghini and three Ferraris.
That's true. You know, that's actually a really good point. Just because you say that you want it doesn't mean that you're going to get it. But, I mean, he's putting in the effort for it. He's putting the work for it.
I mean, he's putting in the work for it. But, I mean, you got to look at the team. Like, you can't have an MVP.
They're winning. They're in the A seed.
But you got two. You got
barely
two,
though.
Three other MVPs that one's in second place, one's in third place, and the other's in first. Yeah. So I feel like, I mean, he's the fourth for sure. But I mean, you got. But really, you got to look at the other three.
Yeah, James Harden. True.
Oh my God.
What are the chances? I'm just, you know, just throwing this out here, just being imaginative, you know, just using my imagination.
Oh,
that
dear.
An MVP goes to like a just multiple players like the Atlanta Hawks. How about like the whole starting five of the Atlanta Hawks share the MVP award?
I don't think they've
like
ever done
like
that.
They did like a the player award. You know, the players of the week. The whole Atlanta.
Okay, that's a very starting team. Very award. Casual award, first of all. The player of the week.
MVP is most valuable player, not most valuable team.
Okay, valuable fine,
team.
Fine,
most
fine,
valuable team.
Fine. What are the chances? Yeah. What are the chances a team from the Atlanta Hawks, a player from the Atlanta Hawks,
zero
wins the MVP?
Zero.
No, they're a bunch of like. Well, they're all good. They're all great players, but I mean, they're
if
not.
You combine the five,
it makes an MVP. A great team.
Yeah,
but no. Just no way.
Just no.
No.
Just no? Okay, fine. Well,
look at the Warriors' record. In the best in the start,
they're 61 and 13. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
They're not going to win the championship though.
Okay, that's fine. We're not talking
and
about that.
And Steph
right
Curry's not going to win MVP.
I feel he might win MVP.
He's going to win MVP.
I think he might. I think he is. He's
going to win.
He see how much made that play against last night. Then he made the
like James Harden hasn't made people fall to the ground.
He has.
You see what he did to Ricky Rubio?
He did. He did. He killed.
See the
him.
Defense he played on
anybody?
The entire NBA.
anybody?
Tell me if Steph Curry hasn't gotten burned though.
Okay.
Tell me Steph
everybody
Curry
gets,
hasn't.
Everybody
yeah,
gets burned. But you got okay. There's a certain play that's sticking out in my mind right now. I don't know what team they're playing. James Harden's in transition defense and he just stands there in the. The guy with the ball runs right by him.
I saw that on World Star.
That's not MVP style defense.
No, he got the outlet and hit a three right after, though.
Oh my God.
But I feel like I feel like he has improved on defense this year than last year. He has improved a little bit. Well, yeah, I'm not saying he's the best.
I think
defender.
That he's been stepping up on defense since Patrick Beverly is since he's out now for the season because of his wrist.
Oh, another reason why the Hawks are going to get knocked out. Mm.
Don't get me wrong, that James Harden. One of the best players in the NBA. He's an offensive machine. He can score whenever he wants. Steph Curry, one of the best players, probably best shooter, probably most likely to win MVP. But I feel like I have to go with Russell Westbrook. He's averaging a triple-double every night.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook is my number
two. Every night. He's putting up a triple-double.
No.
He's putting that team on his back and carrying them to the eighth seed. They might not even win a game in the playoffs, but he's going to make it hard for the Golden State Warriors if they do make the playoffs and end up playing in the first round. He's averaging a triple-double a night. He's not playing with Kevin Durant. Ibaka's out. He's got a horrible supporting cast. And he's got Steven Adams, Kendrick. No, Kendrick Perkins isn't even on the team. But who else is he? He's got a bust in Deion Waiters to be his second leading scorer. Russell Westbrook is putting that team on his back and carrying them to the playoffs.
Let's just give MVP to anybody then.
But you know,
if a team not in the playoffs, let's just give it to them.
What?
All right, who's the one underdog that could win MVP?
Russell Westbrook.
Stop.
Let's be honest. Like you got three players that have their teams in the at the top.
I'm asleep. I'm gonna say Klay Thompson.
No.
What?
Jeff Teague.
No.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard. Yeah, that's.
Damian Lillard would be an underdog to win because he's very important to
DeAndre
his team.
Jordan. No. Averaging 20 rebounds in 20 points.
If he averaged 20-20, yeah.
But he could. He just, next he just, year, Lakers 2015.
Like, he's just gotten like, you know.
LeBron James, I think, is a sleeper.
A lot of people are not talking about LeBron James, but I feel like, you know, LeBron.
Actually, they're talking about him now because some news came out that he calls the plays for the Cavs, not David Blatt.
He probably does.
What?
No, David Blatt said he does. He said, "Why? I mean, if we're winning, what does it matter?"
Yeah. Well, that's just saying, yeah, LeBron does, and we're winning, so my job's safe. Don't worry about it.
I was talking about this last year on my sports part of my show my freshman year, that LeBron's IQ is through the roof in basketball.
He's probably the
him
like
and Chris
the,
Paul, I
the
think,
cap.
Are probably the two smartest players on the court.
True. No, they are.
He's probably the top.
Yeah.
No, LeBron is amazing.
Like, people just think, people just look at his body and he's like, okay, like he can attack the rim and just fight through people.
Yeah,
no,
but like, his mind is the thing that
he's always looking for, to make that extra pass and make it, you know, he wants to create opportunities for his teammates.
Yeah, he looks for the best possible option.
Yeah, I feel like he lets I'm not just being a LeBron fan right now, but you know, his IQ is super high. And I know he likes to pass first. He does, I mean, he'll score. He likes to score.
We've seen him drop 60.
Yeah. He's going to get it.
Yeah, but he looks to pass.
He does. He does put the pass.
Which, I mean, which is not a very common trait in most basketball players.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of separates him from everybody else. But, you know, it's not very popular either because everybody wants to score that 60. Nobody wants those 12 assists except for Chris Paul. You know.
So you got Steph Curry winning it?
Yeah.
All right.
I got Westbrook. I feel like Westbrook has, you know, he's just showed that he's the reason he deserves to win. He's averaging triple double a night. So that's how I feel. All
right.
I'm going to say Harden.
Harden.
But so
you have anything to support that?
Look at the numbers.
Look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie, DV.
See? Numbers do
compare
lie.
Steph Curry. Compare Steph Curry's numbers and James Harden's.
No. Just hear me out. Numbers do lie, because if defense had statistics other than steals, it'd be a different game.
But they don't. So.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
numbers do lie.
No, I'm just saying, isn't it be? I feel like those three are very.
Yeah, I mean, all three of
these
players.
They're all worthy to win the MVP. I just, you know, just Russell Westbrook is. If they don't have Russell Westbrook right now, the Thunder are the worst team in the West in basketball.
I want to say worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, worst team in basketball. They're a 76ers team.
I don't think they're worse than the Knicks.
No, matter of fact, I'm gonna make a bold statement right now. If Russell Westbrook wasn't on the team and KD was on the court, the Thunder would be a below 500 team. Straight up.
No, I don't think so.
Yes,
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Durant needs Westbrook. That's why Durant won't leave OKC.
No. Because Westbrook is... I'm sure that he'll leave if he has the opportunity.
Oh, Westbrook might leave?
Westbrook's going to
But that's going to be the worst.
And KD will be fine.
No.
Yes.
KD's going to be fine.
If they KD have on OKC?
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't need anybody. Just like Westbrook doesn't need anybody.
This is how I look at it. You know, they're a great team when everybody's healthy. Because, you know, they got two all-stars. And... potentially two MVPs if we're going off your MVP prediction, you know. So that makes them a great team, but without each other, they're just a good team. So KD's going to be on a good team. Well, Russell Westbrook's going to be on a good team, which put them together, great team.
I think I'm just on the Westbrook bandwagon. Anyways.
How's that wagon? Is it a lot of cushion?
It feels good, actually. Yeah. There's a lot of space. No one's
LeBron's
on
has
it.
A TV on it, you know? It's anyway. Pretty nice over here.
Anyways, unfortunately, we're running out of time here.
We have a hot tub, too.
Yeah. So, thank you for joining us again. Just tune in next time here on Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu at the same time. Ball is life. Again, I am DJ Smooth, my co-host DJ Roughhouse. And our, you know, beautiful guest here, DJ DV.
I do it.
Thank you for joining us. And this is Ball's Life on Penguin Radio, and we'll see you next week.